Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is May 9th, and this is a look around the Jaguars organization. Today we'll hear from Alabama head coach Nick Saban. He, of course, coached Cam Robinson, the Jaguars' second-round pick, the left tackle, and nearly coached Leonard Fournette. And later his defense shut down Fournette in three meetings against LSU. Coach Saban coming up shortly. Also, he caught up this week with Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. Plenty has transpired around here since we last spoke with Fred on the final postgame show of the 2016 season, including the return of Tom Coughlin and a selection of a first-round running back. Freddie T's thoughts coming up. But first to the Jaguars this week. Phase two of the offseason program continues. That means individual drills are allowed and coaches are allowed on the field. Contact and teamwork of any kind is not allowed. And that means we're one step closer to phase three, which is still non-contact, but includes 11-on-11 and other partial team drills. That's when the 10 OTA practices crank up. Rookie minicamp is this weekend, Friday and Saturday. No public access this weekend, but Saturday should be open to the media, and we'll have reaction from head coach Doug Marone and some of the top draft picks for the Jaguars after their first time on the field as members of the team. The rookies are scheduled to arrive in Jacksonville Thursday. They'll get fitted and then ready for the on-field work starting Friday. Two of those rookies are familiar to Alabama head football coach Nick Saban, and last Friday morning we had a chance to catch up with him over the phone right after spring practice concluded in Tuscaloosa. He, of course, went in-depth on Cam Robinson's career with the Crimson Tide, but he had a few thoughts on Leonard Fournette as well. Spring practice is over now, Coach. I guess you're just at the lake house. Is that how this works, right?
For a weekend, but now this is recruiting season for us. You call it spring recruiting, and you know, the key to having a good team is to always have good players that have the right character and attitude. So that's what we're out here looking for.
Cam Robinson, one of those guys that you had, is now with the Jaguars, second round pick. Jaguars moved up a spot to grab him in the draft. He came in as a freshman and started for you right away and didn't miss a start. What did you see in him right out of the gate that made you confident to put him in as a freshman?
Well, Cam's, first of all, an outstanding athlete to play left tackle or right tackle, actually, in my opinion. But I think he could be a fantastic left tackle. He's very athletic. He's got great length and size. He's got feet, good pass protector. He can be physical when he needs to be in terms of getting moving on the run. You know, I just think he's as good a pro prospect as anybody we've had. And we have had a bunch of guys get drafted in the first round, offensive linemen as well as other players. So, you know, I think he's got a really, really bright future.
You mentioned right tackle. Could he move in and play some guard, or is he bulky enough to do that?
Well, I'm not sure that would be what he's best suited for. I think what separates guards and tackles is length and athleticism. So I don't know why you take a guy that has that kind of length, that kind of range as a tackle, and that kind of athletic ability and try to play him at guard. Could he play it? Yeah. Is that the best value for what he can do? I don't think so.
The last year for him was quite different. The off-the-field thing happened, and then the charges were dropped. He comes out and gets back in good graces and goes out and wins the Outland Trophy. Can you take us through that whole process with him and how that worked in Tuscaloosa? Did that motivate him in year three to go out and play even better?
Well, I think that this draft and some of the experiences that players had in this draft are certainly lessons for every player out there that might be listening to this, whether you're in high school or college, that you know, there can be consequences for good behavior and there can be consequences for bad behavior. And, you know, you don't want anybody to ever have a reason to put butt behind, you know, what they say about you. So making good choices and decisions is very important. I personally knew the details of what happened in Cam's situation. I think it was a little overbaked. He was always a good guy. He was a good person. He was a good leader. On the leadership council on the team, one of the guys that I was always turned to in a tough spot to know that he would always, you know, step up and help other people to step up. So I had no issues at all with this guy's character from a competitive standpoint or from a personal standpoint. And, you know, I think he knew that I had that kind of confidence in him. And even though I got criticized a little bit for the way I handled it, we do this based on the person and what we think he did, not necessarily what the public thinks. And guy responded to it in a positive way and played very well for us. I think, you know, people can say good things or bad things. You can look at the glass half empty or half full, but you said he never missed a start. You know, this guy got a high ankle sprain that they said in a Tennessee game that they said he'd be out for a month. And 2 weeks later, you know, he starts against LSU and doesn't miss a start. So we had a bye week in between. So this guy's a different breed of cat that I think has a really bright future.
And when the competition on the other side is there, he kind of steps up as well. And the one that stands out is the Myles Garrett game, A&M, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and this is the one thing that I think maybe actually hurt Cam. And I tried to, you know, sort of convince him of this through his career, is that sometimes he played to the level of the competition. And when the competition was really good, that's when he played his best. And he probably played his best against Texas A&M when he was playing against Myles Garrett. Some other times people question the consistency, but it was usually when he was playing against maybe a player that wasn't as good. But look, that's not a good indicator. You know, if you want to be the best player you can be, you should never allow the guy on the other side of the ball to determine the standard that you play to. And I think that's one of the things that will challenge Cam more in the NFL, because he'll always be playing against a good player. So his level of play is going to have to raise up to that standard on a consistent basis.
Alabama head coach Nick Saban is with us. I'm interested in your perspective on Leonard Fournette. You guys had very good success against him on the defensive side over the last 3 years, but you were also in the hunt to get him in Tuscaloosa. Can you take us through way back then? Do you remember, what do you remember about him, the family, and how close were you to getting Leonard Fournette?
Well, you know, he could probably tell you how close we were to getting him. I know we really wanted him. We thought he was an outstanding player and a good person, and his mama made me some of the best crawfish etouffee when I went in there on the home visit that I ever had, so I still remember that part of it. But you know, Leonard's a great player. He's physical, he's fast, he's explosive. You know, look, our players on defense, when they play against a player like that, sometimes play a little higher level, and we were certainly fortunate to be able to play that way against him, because the players were really challenged, and I think that shows what kind of respect our team and our players had for Leonard. And he's probably the most dominating player in our league the last couple of years.
Interesting thoughts from Nick Saban, especially on the recruitment of Leonard Fournette and Cam Robinson getting back into good graces, entering his junior season in Tuscaloosa. Our thanks to the folks at Alabama and the athletic department for their help with this interview. Now let's get back into our own house. It's been a while since we've heard from Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. It might have been the last postgame show of the 2016 season, and since then, there's been a few things that have transpired around here. Tom Coughlin's back in the building, and the Jags have a first-round running back on the roster, a second-round tackle or guard, and a pair of fullbacks. It's a good time to catch up with Freddie T. How's your offseason, Freddie T?
My man, Jarrett.
Frederick, hello.
I had to get that one in there.
I love it.
My offseason's great, man. I'm still struggling with my driver, but I'm working on it. Everything's good, man. It's a blessing. You know, I get to wake up, man, enjoy my kids, play bus driver, handle business if there's some business to handle, when there's business to handle. Keep my eye on everything that's going on, you know, with the team there in Jacksonville and what's going on in the city and developments and football. Everything's good, JP. Just one day at a time.
I think that you speak for everybody. One day at a time, right? Everybody's day to day.
That's what it's supposed to be. Got to be in the moment, baby.
Hey, so there's been a lot that has transpired around here since we last spoke, Fred, including Tom Coughlin back in the building. Doug Marrone is the head coach full time. They're promising to bring a level of toughness to the organization. They're saying the right things. What do you make of all the moves at the start of this year?
JP, man, I think that mindset sort of came back in the building. Not to say it left the building, because I don't want to, you know, I know a lot of listeners will take that as, well, Gus was soft, you know, and I'm not saying that. So I want to make sure that's known before I say what I'm going to say. But just to go back to the old school mentality, you know, when they said, okay, when Sharp made up his mind to bring Coach Coughlin back in the building, you know, that's always been his MO. No way around it. You know, you can't sugarcoat it. That's Coach Coughlin in a nutshell. And it's okay. Football is advanced so much that everyone's saying it's so new school. The game has changed a lot. It has changed, but a lot of things remain the same. And if you don't have that mindset where we got to be tough on the players more than be tough on the field. You got to be tough on the players first, and it starts in the locker room. You know, it starts in the meetings, and it starts man-to-man, player-to-player. You know, friendship. I've seen stronger friendships forged by, you know, guys trusting each other. You can be hard on me, Marcus Stroud and myself, Mike Peterson and myself, you know, a lot of other guys. It's about accountability, sense of urgency, and that all ties into being tough. And that's what TC is going to bring back in the building. And that alone, in my opinion, will keep you in a lot of games, at least get you to the point where you should be, you know, a game or two out of wild card spot just by that alone. Now, they're going to also win a lot of games because they're going to have a new mindset. So in terms of toughness, looking at the picks, I mean, they took Fournette, number one. Mm-hmm. He's a big bruising back downhill. I think if my grandmother was out there, he would run her over, and then me and Fournette would have a problem. coming back with a big tackle and Cam Robinson, you know, got to have some guys to block for those guys. If you're going to make some dough with the running back, you can't do it without the big guys up front. And they went and got, I think, a guy who can be a potential franchise tackle for the Jaguars, sort of like Buscelli. But I still like for him to prove it on Sunday. And the other picks were solid. You know, I think Westbrook was still in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. I hope he gets in there and, you know, does well. And the other guys are solid, too. But those are just a few guys that I'm sort of mentioning right now. But it does start with toughness and mindset.
We'll get to some of these offensive players in the draft coming up. But back to your toughness. Were you a tough player when you came in the league, or did Tom and the crew here back then instill that in you?
You know what? I always had that dog in me, JP. You got to have that dog in you. You can't grow up behind the gated community fence. You know, like I like to tell my kids, you guys are gated community thugs. They're not thugs by any means, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you got to have that fire. You know, you got to – it's just a passion. You got to be driven. You know, coaches shouldn't have to tell you to do this or do that. They shouldn't have to reinforce it. Now, later in my career, I learned that what that was, you know, that was the difference between routine and commitment, because we all need a routine in our everyday lives. And because we're walking in the stadium, that's the routine piece of it, doing what you do to get your mind right. The commitment is those days when you're tired, you're sluggish, you don't feel like it. Something has to kick you and say, man, I got to go. I got people depending on me. And that's the tough mindset. That's how I always was. People call me fragile. You know, I tease Pete Prisco to this day. I said, Pete, you started that crap. But you know, I was never fragile. I was never soft. I had some unfortunate injuries because I ran my butt off. I played recklessly. I played with passion. I wanted to give my all every single snap. And I didn't always go down on the first tackle. You know, I did things that sort of got me closer to those injuries, and I fought myself, and I fought back to get back on the field.
Yeah.
You know, and then if I got injured again, so be it. I'm playing, you know, 130 miles an hour, and I'm doing it for myself, my teammates, the city, everybody else, because I love the game. So I was always tough. There was never a question about that, in my opinion.
Fred Taylor is with us. Leonard Fournette seems to have a touch of that in him, his background in New Orleans coming up. But he's always kind of been the top guy. He was the top recruit in the country, and he had a lot of weight on his shoulders going to Baton Rouge. Played well most of the time there. Now he's the number four overall pick. What kind of pressure is this for Leonard Fournette, and what have you watched of him?
You know, what I've seen on tape, obviously, SEC guy, he's played against my Gators. He's dominated. He dominated that league. In his first 2 years, he just completely dominated. His junior year, he slowed by some injuries. That happens. But I really like the pick. I pray and hope that, you know, he joins us on the Ring of Honor someday, which means good things for the organization, I think. He has that type of potential. It's going to take some work. And what I mean by work, JP, is that, you know, he has to be disciplined. The NFL, you have to be more than physically tough. And I think we text back and forth on draft night mm-hmm. about this. Now the mental toughness has to kick in more than the physical piece. Because everybody in the NFL are specimens. They're the best in the world at what they do. But the guys that are going to withstand and going to be there for a while are going to be the mentally tough guys, because there's going to be some mental challenges on the field, off the field, in your household, your family, your friends that you came up with, tag-alongs, the fans, you know, fans that think you should do more for them because you were drafted and you're getting paid a certain. So it's going to be a lot of challenges that present themselves. Now, can he handle it? That remains to be seen, because it's up to him. No one can do it but Leonard. You know, I like I mentioned to you, I'm down for, you know, if they need some outside mentoring or just, you know, occasional phone calls between he and I or whatever it may be, whatever I can do to help the young man, I'm always down, because it's going to be some challenges. But I think he's more than capable.
Yeah, he seems very sharp, Fred, just in the interaction, the short time we had him here the day after the first round. He came in for the visit and all that. You can check out the visit on Jaguars.com. So he's always been able to live up to what he's done before, and hopefully that'll be the case again.
Right. But he's a guy who you know, has some – like a lot of guys in the NFL, but he had some challenges in the upbringing, and you know. And I told you, he's another player who's a dog in terms of, you know, he's passionate about the game, and I want to see that spill over into the NFL and not let the contract and the money, you know, allow him to, you know, become complacent, because it's happened to the best of them, you know. So if he can just control what he can control. And continue to develop mentally. He's going to be fine if he could do those things.
Fred Taylor with us. Last few thoughts here. You mentioned Cam Robinson. We won't go into deep detail there, but it is help on the offensive line for a group that needed it a year ago. But there are also fullbacks back on the roster. Fred, can you believe it?
Yeah, I can believe it, man. I can definitely believe it. I mean, but, you know, I had Big Rock. I had Greg Jones. You know, I had, what do we call him? I can't think of the nickname that we gave. It's going to come to me. I'll be able to tell you what it is before we hang up. But, you know, the fullback is always a good changeup. The I formation is always a solid formation. You know, every now and then they show the fullback some love. So I mean, it's good to have those guys in the mix, because what it does is it allows the play calling to change up a little bit. You're going to force that guy to force teams to bring an additional guy in the box, and that helps the play action it's great to do play action out of single back. Peyton made a living doing it. But, you know, Coach Coughlin, he's always been a fan of the fullback position. And I'm sure he had some influence on that, pretty much like, you know, just looking at the draft picks there. Seems he had a lot of influence on that, too. Well, I know he had. But it's good to see a fullback back in this. Derek Wimbush, there it is. That's who I'm talking about.
Wow, what a pull.
Hey, Wimbush, he was a smart guy. Wasn't big, but he was smart. And he would listen to everything that I say. You know what? Don't even go and block that guy. Leave him free. Go back door. We're going to get the guy on the backside. And I'll see you 50 yards down the field. And he would do it. He didn't care if he got in trouble. He would do what Freddie T said do.
You got to listen to the star running back. That's how it works.
I told him, if I get in trouble, I'll go and tell him, look, my bad, coach. I saw something. It just didn't work that time. But most of the time it worked. And he was smart enough to make the adjustment.
So last year, Fred, you announced the draft pick, the Miles Jack pick. This
right.
year, Buscelli had the second round. Scobie had the third round. Are you getting out-dueled by former Jags? Now, where were you for the draft and announcing picks? What happened?
No, I had some other engagements with family. So, no, they actually reached out, but I had to decline this time around. But it's a good thing, though, JP, that those guys were able to go up there and experience those things. I'm not the only guy that wore a Jaguars uniform. Although I like to work, I like getting out, and I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth because I do love going to London working. but it's a lot of guys out there that they are solid, you know, players for the Jaguars organization and getting their due and their recognition. You know, it only helps the organization.
Fred, when are you back in town?
I'll be back in Jacksonville. I actually just left last weekend, but I'll be back. I'll be back on the night of June 6th, and I'll be participating in the Jaguars Foundation Golf event on the 7th.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to tweak some things. I don't claim to be Josh Scobie or Rasheem Mathis. Those guys are 2-3 handicap. You know, I'm Freddie T. I'm working. I think I'm Natron Means or something. Like, that's a 20 for everybody who doesn't know. And I might be even higher. I might be Freddie T. I might be a 28. Who knows?
Watch out.
But I enjoy it. I love competition. I always will. But I'll be back to support the team and the organization. And have some fun. Make a good time of it.
Looking forward to it, and we appreciate this today. Fred, it's always great to talk to you, man.
Hey, JP, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate you. Jared!
Our thanks to Fred Taylor for the time this week. It is the week of the players down at TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra, and the Jaguars will be all over the course this week. Keep an eye out for appearances from players. And yes, from Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Ozone Live on the Jags Facebook page will originate from the stadium course at Sawgrass this Thursday afternoon. Check the listings closer to showtime. Our thanks again to Alabama head coach Nick Saban and Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor for their time this week. And as always, a thanks to Jaguars manager of radio Joe Fortunato. Thanks to you for listening to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.